Hallelujah. There are those who say, and often say, I feel like something's about to happen. I believe something new is coming. And yet others will say, I've heard that and I've heard that and heard that. But I say unto you, this is the expectation of the Lord, saith the Spirit of grace. Did I not say in my word that I will change you from glory to glory to glory to glory? You can't even recognize now the glory that you are walking in comparison to the glory that you were walking in 10 years ago. Sometimes you reminisce, and it's good. It's beautiful to me to say, oh, remember that service, what we were doing then 10 years ago? But I say unto you, you have passed from glory to glory to glory to glory. And no matter how wonderful the reminisce of those times were, they pale in comparison to the revelation that you walk in now, to the glory that you walk in now, to the purging of the flesh that you walk in now. When you look back on those years, is it not easy for you to understand why you were not ready to come into revival then? You look at yourself then and say, we're ready for revival. I could not give you revival then. But know this, I have brought you to this place, and the witness in your heart is faithful and it is true. Do not deny it. Do not scoff it. When you speak with your brethren and you say one to another, there's an expectation, a hope inside of me. Realize that this is by my Holy Spirit, saith your Lord and God. For I am bringing you into a new place, and that place is maturing faster than you realize. These are the days of expectation. These are the days that you are on the threshold to great and mighty things, saith the Spirit of grace. So move into this next place. Move into this next place. And you've heard time and time again, oh, there's a next place. Yes, there is. There'll always be a next place. But this next place is getting you closer to what you affectionately call the great outpouring, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah! Glory! Hallelujah! We worship you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Father. You are Daddy God to me and to everyone else in here that's born again. And you've sent your Son, and He is the exact replica of you. Jesus, you said if you'd seen you, you'd seen the Father. A human being, but God in the flesh, wrapped in flesh. Something that man could hold and handle and squeeze and watch Him perform. I cannot wait to the hour that we all behold you face to face. But Father, I thank you that this third person that stands down here in the midst of us, we relish His presence. He holds us and we hold on to Him, and we thank you for the person, the mighty Holy Ghost. We love you, sir, with all of our hearts, our minds, and our bodies. And Father, we are asking this morning that you take us into this next level. Take us into this next level, Father, from glory to glory. Bless now this morning, as you continue to bless. And we give you all the praise. And we give you all the glory. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please give someone a great big hug this morning and greet them in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're so glad that you are here with us this morning, and we're believing that you're going to have a wonderful time. And how many are already having a wonderful time? Amen. To give honor to the Holy Spirit, because so often we don't. And a lot of times somebody will say, man, we just had a really good time at church. And then somebody will say, well, what happened? And you say, I'm not really sure, but we had a great time. And that was one of the best messages I've ever heard. Really, what did they say? Well, they preached on the Word, and it was really good. And your emotions feel that, and that's good because that's the Holy Spirit. But we want to take it another step further. Hallelujah. So what did the Holy Spirit say just before we took the break? What was the main emphasis of what he said? Now, the floor is open. Anybody want to? Walking to a new place. Glory to glory. Expectation. Yeah. Not what we were 10 years ago. Hallelujah. I like that. Yes. What, Marie?
I got reminded, my first paper in my journal says, today is the least amount of glory that we will see, and tomorrow will be.
Oh, you got to say that. Stand up, say it. That is really good.
It was a word that Matt had gotten, so he shared the word and reminded me about it. And this is dated 12/26/11. Today is the least amount of glory that we will see. More than today.
Hallelujah.
So what I drew was a picture of today and then that perfect day.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Everybody that responded, perfect answers. Hallelujah. So let's remember that. Let's remember that. Let's rehearse it. And let's ask God to indelibly stamp that inside of our spirit as we go home this afternoon and think about these things. Because a lot of times you'll remember different things and you'll say, man, that was so good. And you'll think, we haven't had one of those services lately. Or are we still going forward? My God, you just don't know how far we have come unless the Holy Spirit begins to show you. And that's what he said this morning. We are, by his estimation, and thank God, I want his approval, don't you? That we are going from glory to glory. And this is the least amount of glory that we'll ever walk in. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Good to see all of you this morning. Good to see my Russian, I guess I'd call him my Russian friend, and his beautiful wife and their family. And known him for a number of years. And he was a truck driver when we used to talk quite a bit. So we're glad he's down here in this area. And he's got his kids with him this morning. We're glad to have him. Praise God, both he and his wife. Hallelujah. So if you're glad to be here this morning, I'm going to ask you to express that with more than mere words. We're going to allow you the opportunity to worship the Lord this morning with your giving. So this morning, why don't you, together with us who believe and pray, and believe that God is sending an outpouring to this region of Florida along with a lot of other places, why don't you take a few moments right now in prayer to consider with us. Maybe you've made those decisions before you come in here, but let's pray and get ready to give. Father, we love you. We love you so much, and we're so thankful for the words of the Holy Ghost. And for everyone that responded, there was someone else that's sitting there with the same thought, that they understood what you said, and you are taking us from glory to glory. And we are asking you, Father, to just indelibly stamp inside of our hearts. I pray that you'll stamp it inside of us. We'll reminisce and we'll remember, Lord, that we are going from glory to glory. And today is the least that we'll ever walk in. We want the next level. And so, Father, also with our giving, we pray that you'll continue to speak to our hearts, and our hearts and minds will line up with your word, and that we will be givers, that we will be worshipers, and we will be givers in that worship. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We bless the homes. We bless the individuals. We bless the marriages. We pray that, Lord, that there will be more than enough. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for this opportunity. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. If you'll place those, please. If you'll stand with me one more time. And if you have something, if you'll bring it down. Marty, if you've got something, please. And if you miss someone in that last greeting, just take a moment and don't spend too long in greeting, because we've got some wonderful things that we're going to be happening this morning. So go ahead and bring it on down. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we love you so much. Our anticipation of what you're going to do this morning and what you're going to do for the rest of our life. How it's all planned out. Lord, we just bless. We thank you for this offering. Help us to steward it real well. Guide us, lead us. We give you all the praise and all the glory in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Thank you, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Man, you guys look so good.
Thanks.
Is that Homer that said thanks? Should I put a except for Homer? It's so good to see the Richards family here this morning with us. Amen. Amen. And we're going to take some time this morning to do something that I just know is apropos in the spirit. And we're going to bring them up here in just a little bit. But I want to make some comments. Those of you that have not met Matt, Maria, and the kids, we just want to share some things about them. Most of you know them quite well because they've served with us for a number of years. And I think, Matt, you can help me along. If we had room, we'd bring you guys up here, but you're close enough. And for James and JC, there she is, and she's starting to drive a little bit. At least she's learning, so. Who said, oh, God? Tell ya. She's probably can drive better than any of us. She's beautiful. But Matt first came over to the Family Prayer Center, I believe it was to visit at a Gary Carpenter. Was it something along that lines, or was it Gary, or it was a Dave? I knew it was one of them, and came over, and they stayed, and we were glad they stayed, and they served this ministry and served the Lord faithfully for many years. I would say it was over a dozen years. Is that, yeah, 11, 12? We'll put it on the 12 end. 12 in April. Okay, wonderful. Thank God for a wife. They always keep perfect records, you know. When were we married? Oh, it was in that, somewhere in that time of the year, you know, when the leaves are changing or something like that. Or no, it was when it was hot. Or So Matt served for a long time when we were having Friday nights. He was kind of my go-to guy for a long time, helping me on Friday nights. And then moved in a position into the sound booth and just really, really served really well for many years and brought a lot of wonderful music and sounds into this house that we still use and we so much appreciated, so much appreciate and appreciated. Maria served tremendously in the children's ministry and helped out next door. and did a lot. And so we are forever grateful for their faithfulness and what they did for this house and helping us go to the next level through their ministry. Personally, I would say before I bring them on and let them share or ask them, give them the privilege to share this morning some, Matt has been a very close personal friend of mine for a number of years. I don't know how many mornings we've had. He'd stop by and we'd have coffee or we'd get Miss Candy to fix us breakfast, hopefully. And we would share, and it would, believe me, it was not always about the Gator football team. Sometimes it was, but most of the time, the biggest part of it was the Word and what God was doing and how that He was moving us forward. And just things and insights, real thoughtful insights. And I was sharing, there's been many, many Saturday nights during football season that Matt and Marie and the kids would come over and just sit in our living room and we'd have a good time. And one of those was last night, and we had a good time, even though the Gators did not win. So we still had a good time, and but we showed up. But just a lot of wonderful memories and a lot of wonderful times together. And I was sharing with them last night, I could not believe, do you guys know that it has been 10 years almost, today's the 18th, I think it was the 24th or 25th of this month, 10 years ago, that Hurricane Wilma came through here. And it was incredible. And they spent the night with us that night, and that was a night to remember. We did not sleep that night. I remember getting up in the middle of the night and kind of walking around, and I'd see Matt walking around, and we were just praying. And wasn't too bad during the night, but boy, when it got close to daylight, it was a storm. I looked at it the other day just to reminisce, and the eye of it went perfectly right over Immokalee. And I remember there was a half hour, 45 minute span that we were able to walk out. And of course, I was doing my Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel impersonation. And the front end wasn't much, or it was quite a bit, but the back end was, we had from memory, we had a 45 minutes of sustained 117 mile an hour winds. Now that's pretty strong. That was really, really strong. And we had gusts up to 135 mile an hour, and we could not see the street. When it got up to 135, we knew the Lord was with us. But believe me, when a block house is shaking, and you cannot see, and you can't even see the front yard because the wind is taking the rain sideways, and it was a whiteout. I've been in one or two snow whiteouts, but this was a rain whiteout, and you couldn't hardly see your hand probably in front of your face. It was just that much storm. The field immediately after, you probably could have taken a small boat across it. Matt and I got in his pickup and went around Immokalee and checked on his mom's place and a lot of different things. And Homer, he was safe and sound in Texas. I remember I was driving, Matt was driving us around, and I said, you know, I need to call Homer. And I said, Homer, man, are you headed this way? And he goes, well, do I need to or whatever? I said, well, he said, Rosie had told him that, yeah, he's shaking his head, yeah, he knows where it's coming. Rosie told him that everything was pretty good, and there was a pretty strong wind maybe that had come by. I said, my God, Homer, Immokalee looks like a bomb has went off. You can't recognize the streets, basically. The trees are everywhere. Power lines are down. It's flooded. And, oh, by the way, I'm just riding by your office, and all the windows are busted out of your office. And he goes, my God, I'm leaving right now. You know, so it was a day. It was a real day. So I'm just saying that. We've went through some storms. And but Matt has accompanied me on a number of occasions to Tulsa. We just shared the good things of Pastor Dave Roberson's ministry, and we just appreciate their foundation. Matt, sometime, maybe at least a couple of years ago, and this is the part that I just really want to, among so many different things that I could be proud for them and with them and about them for, is that they feel, and they strongly feel, and I go along with them on this, is that God has transitioned them, not leaving this foundation or this family, but going to another part of their family, and they'll be sharing what that vision is and what they'll be doing. And he came to me and just laid out where they felt that the Lord was leading them, and wanted to make sure that there was a smooth transition and all of his responsibilities would be taken care of, and wanted our blessing. And I'll just say this, they have done it right. They've really done it right. And so if you do it right, if you're still part of a family, and I don't want to get a degree off on this as putting a shadow on anybody that has left, but if you do it right, you don't just leave and never say goodbye. There's supposed to be a good goodbye, and there's supposed to be, it's not a goodbye, it's just see you later, see you for a little bit later. And so God is moving them to Kansas City, Missouri, to the International House of Prayer Ministry, and they'll be talking about in just a moment what God's vision is for them for the next step of their life, and they've already bought a home out there, and I'm real sad that they're leaving, to tell you the truth, but I'm happy for them. So with no further said, I'm going to ask them to come. You can come all together as a family. We'll kind of scooch up here and give you some room. You can sit together and take your time. We just want to hear what God's doing with them and what God's going to be doing for them in the next venture of their life. So let's give them a great big hand. Who's first? Dad's first. All right.
Can I pray for you?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for Matt. Father, I thank you, Lord, that his ears are open to you, Lord. Father, that his eyes are open to you, Lord, that he sees and he hears, Lord, only your voice and only your direction. Father, I ask you right now, Lord, to come and anoint his words, Lord, and his organize his thoughts, Lord, that this vision, Lord, your vision, Lord, that you've put in his heart, Lord, that you've put on our heart and on our family's heart, Lord, that he would make it clear. Father, we just ask you, Lord, that you would be glorified, Jesus, in what we say. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. It's good to have a praying wife, especially when you need your thoughts organized because you really don't know what you're going to say. Just got to take a moment and just look at everybody. You know, I've just been asking the Lord what to say this morning. I didn't really know how much time you really wanted to do, but so I don't want to say too much. But I was thinking when you were talking there about, I'll share this. Mike Bickle, who is the guy that started the International House of Prayer, and is the director. When I met him, Marie and I met him and his wife about 2 years ago, kind of let him know we were heading that way. And he said, what do you want to do when you get out there? I said, well, this is what I know. It's ministry to the Lord and family. And still today, that's what I know. It's ministry to the Lord and family. And so in your comments, and thinking about our years here and time at the Methodist Church before we came here, you know, when God began to speak to Abraham, he said that, you know, he said, come out of your land, you know, come out of what you know and go to a place. And I'm going to bless you. And in that blessing and in this promise to you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And if I could really say anything, maybe about these last years, is just recognizing the value of the family of God. We like teams, right? I like being a Gator fan, right? And there's other teams I like, and there's other teams that, yeah. And so through the journey, you know, thinking about, when I was in the Methodist Church, we were in the Methodist Church. Maria was the youth minister there, and, you know, there was always something about the Baptist and the Methodist, right? We never were Methodists necessarily, but that's where we went to church. And so some people take that pretty seriously, you know, but God wants a family. God desired a family in the beginning. And so recognizing that and growing in that and, you know, walking through things that challenge that, you know, through these years has been a really amazing journey. And the refining that happens as you put yourself in front of the Lord and, you know, things that you believe, and then he begins to challenge those things, and, you know, you learn that his ways are truly higher than yours. It's been an amazing process that I've valued greatly. And so as transition began to happen years ago, and, you know, some things were beginning to get challenged in my heart. I wanted to, you know, to speak to the things that Pastor Bronk said. I'm glad that it feels like we're doing it right, because I love you guys. I value you guys. I appreciate everything that not only you, Bronk, and Candy have given us and sown into our lives, but everybody here. Every single person here, every individual here through our time here has been a blessing. And we learn through each other through love, and we learn learn from each other as we, you know, kind of bump into each other a little bit. And I'm like, what's all that about? You know, and God uses it to refine our hearts, and I'm very grateful for that. But bigger than that, the family of God. The places that I love to meditate, and I'm just going to read it. The first chapter of Ephesians. And after his greeting, Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him." I love to meditate that, because Paul's lining out the purposes of God and the ways of God in them. I think one of the things that I'm really appreciating right now, as far as my understanding of God and his word, is the story. It's the whole story. It's the story that we're in. We're all part of a story that began in the heart of God. In a time, we try to term eternity past, but they're really there's not an eternity past. There's only eternity. And so God, in his heart, God who was needing of nothing, right? He's self-existent. He wasn't lacking. He had perfect fellowship within the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But something within him longed, right, to create and to have family and for the expression of love to be known beyond, in a way, what it was, but within the same. And so as I've given myself to the Word and began to let that story unfold in my heart, I found a beautiful and perfect context for my life, and a beautiful and perfect context for the life of my family and the family of God. And so what I'm looking at in here is I'm seeing this beautiful God, and I love just going through and seeing that what the Word says is that he has blessed us, right? We all know the scripture. We love him because he first loved us, right? Everything initiated in God. Everything is always initiated in God, and everything will always be initiating in God. So it's always complete, and it's always perfect, and it's always full. And it cannot be outside of our own free will. It can't be violated. It's perfect. And so what I see is this perfect and beautiful God who is perfect love, who could have done anything he wanted to, chose to create. And with knowledge that this creation was going to fall. And with knowledge that he could redeem that creation. And with knowledge that in the end, he could have what he wanted in the beginning. So I'm seeing the panorama of this story. Original intention and original purpose of God, and even creating to begin with, being fulfilled in the end. And that we each play a part in that. And we each have a role in that. Should we choose to take his hand, should we choose the invitation that's been given to us to follow him, we play a role that nobody else can play. So what else can we do but follow him, no matter what that looks like, right? And so we give ourselves to him, and then things begin to happen, and we find his beauty, and we find our need, and we find the perfection of he who began a good work. We find that he's faithful to perform it and fulfill it, even going forward unto the day of Jesus Christ. Yes. Right? Yes. Amen. So then we can just entirely throw ourselves on him and say, you know what? There is no good in me apart from you. I can just yield myself to you, Lord, and I can allow you your way. And what we're going to find is then that perfect love comes, and perfect love begins to ask and say, do you want it? Do you want your way, or you want my way? And I said, Lord, I want your way. He says, okay. That's what I was hoping you were going to say. So I'm going to set you on a path. And then I'm going to mold you and shape you into my image, conform you into my image in it. It's the way of the cross, right? It's the way of learning obedience, even through very, very challenging times. But once again, we just go back to him, and we see that in the beginning, when he didn't have to, he chose to create. And this is what it says about God, that he blessed us. He chose us. He predestined us. He made us. And I should finish all that, but I want to just... He made us to abound. And so we see God continually reaching and continually coming to us and offering us all things. Then we couple that with Listen to this. Having predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, holy and pure God chose to join us to himself. Listen to this. According to the good pleasure of his will. God is joyful. His will is pleasurable to him. Right? According to, it was his good pleasure to join us to him. It's his good pleasure, it says then, that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Right? Which he made to abound to us, right? He abounded to us. We couldn't go to him. He abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, once again, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. God has purposed within himself, and he's pleasurable about it. He's joyful about it. Not only to bring me as an individual in a way of personal salvation to him, but to fulfill the original intention of his heart. The next verse, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both of which in heaven and which are on the earth in him. So, we're in the story. God created perfection, beauty existed, sin came, violated, no way to come back. God becomes a man. God becomes a man. Lives life as a man so that he could perfectly minister to us in our humanity. My God. Right? Pays the full penalty of the sin, past, present, and future. Ascends to the right hand of the Father. And he's now waiting to come back to fulfill that which was in the beginning. The next place, right? God, who has began a good work in each of us, is performing it. And he's intent on fulfilling it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So that pertains to each of us on a personal basis. And then he puts us in a family. Right? And that's the congregations that we've been part of. It's the congregations of the city. It's the congregations of the region and the state and the nation and the continent and ultimately the globe. Right? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Right? And he's going to come back. He's going to bring forth something that I believe we don't have very much understanding of. I'm grappling with it because I can just say a word, but that's it. But he's coming back for a bride. A bride. And that bride is going to be beautiful. And that bride is going to be made ready for him. That bride is going to be in agreement with him. Right? Who's he going to marry? Right? Why does he call himself a bridegroom anyway? I don't, you know. Why does he call the church a bride? Those are mysteries that I want to know. And I want to relate to him in those ways. But one thing I've set my heart to do is see the bride for who she is. And to be in a place where my life and my family's life not only reflects the bride, but gives to others to become the bride. Amen? Because he's doing it. He's perfecting her, and he's going to come for her on a day when she's crying out for her bridegroom. So we don't know much about that, but he's going to teach us. He's intent, and he will fulfill it. And so we can just say, okay, Lord, this is all right. It's all right that I don't know because you want to teach me, and I can just give myself. Okay. So that's kind of the panorama of the story and what's he doing to get that done. There's a lot of things he's doing, and I wouldn't even begin to think I really have any idea of what he's doing. In all the different tribes and all the different tongues and all the nations, he's drawing out a bride, and she looks beautiful, and she looks different. But I know what he's joined us to in these last years. And that's a part of what he's doing that we can see more clearly. And I just want to reference really quickly Malachi 1:11. In Malachi, he's rebuking the priesthood of Israel for not fulfilling the things that he gave them to do as priests. And then he makes a promise again. We love God because what? He first loved us, right? God initiated. God's going to fulfill. God's doing this. Malachi 1:11, for from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. God is stirring his people to worship. God is stirring his people to give a pure offering. God is stirring his people to pray. God is stirring his people to join him in his purposes and what he's intent on doing. He's coming back to receive his inheritance, the earth and its people. He's coming back to establish a kingdom of heaven on the earth for 1,000 years, and then he's going to unite it forever so that heaven and earth are one forever. So what we begin to see in the last 7-8 years is the establishment of what people call a house of prayer. And we know like one scripture or two on the house of prayer. It's when Jesus went into the temple and he overturned the tables of the money changers. And he says, don't you know my house shall be called a house of prayer? Right? So I've tried to learn, what's he talking about there? And he's referencing Isaiah 56. He's quoting Isaiah 56 directly. And what I began to see just in my own journey was that Israel, God had found a people to make himself known through, but they weren't at that time really doing it, right? He said, my house is going to be called a house of prayer. And then if you look at Isaiah 56, he says, it's a house of prayer for all nations, that the Gentiles would know me. So Israel wasn't representing God. They weren't establishing and stewarding the presence of the Lord so that the Gentiles could come and encounter God and know him for who he is. So does that mean the house of prayer is the church and that? No. It's something that somebody just grabbed a hold of and said, you know what, we're gonna establish a place in a city where people can encounter God. And we're gonna do that by reflecting heaven, right? What's going on in heaven right now? Worship and prayer, right? We pray the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. So people all over the earth began to see this, and way independent of the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. They were just doing what the Lord was telling them to do, just like we're doing here, what the Lord has told us to do here. And God breathed on it, and it's grown into a globally visible place where night and day prayer has been established. they're just one place. And there's somebody that God has used to where you could see it in a way. But there's no one way. There's following God. And so what's happening is houses of prayer or places of prayer are popping up all over the world, independent of one ministry or even knowledge of anybody else doing it. There's testimonies coming in from all over the world on this. And it's because of Malachi 1:11, from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. God is doing this. He's stirring people to pray. I'm so thankful for the foundation of prayer that was sown into our lives here. Because we seamlessly transitioned, if you want to say, into this aspect of ministry. The first time I walked in the prayer room, I'm like, oh my God, this is what I was made for right here. To be a part of establishing this everywhere I go, everywhere we go. And so that is a nutshell of what's happened in us and is happening today as we go to Kansas City to really go there to just minister to the Lord in something that's already been established. We know it's going to be ministered to the Lord and family. We don't know exactly what that looks like in total, but like the disciples said when the deacons were chosen, we know we're going to give ourselves continually to ministry in the Word and in prayer, much like Pastor Bronk does every day, Pastor Homer. That's what I know that I will be doing. I know that whatever the ministry that is that goes out from there will be born of that. People say, you're going to be a pastor. I said, well, yeah, I pastor, so I'm a pastor. You're going to teach? Yeah, I teach, so I'm going to teach. Official capacity, I don't know any of that. But I know this, we're going to go give ourselves to the Lord, ministry in word and in prayer. And from that, everything else will come. I believe that God is doing this house of prayer thing as a means to bring forth his bride. Because what we see in the houses of prayer we've been established in and part of, he graced us to be a part of the houses of prayer in the state of Florida from the beginning of their inception here. And we've traveled around and been part of it. People get together and minister to the Lord. And all the denominational barriers are left outside the door, in a sense, because all the ministry is just to the Lord. And nobody's trying to be anything. Just minister to the Lord, you know? And so it's a piece. It's a part of bringing forth his bride. So that's what we'll be doing. The other part of it was, and family. I believe the Lord is giving us family ministry. I believe the Lord is giving us not only to minister as a family, but to minister to families. One of the scriptures I've trembled at for several years now has been, husbands, love your wife as Christ loves the church. I tremble at that because I realize I have no capacity to do that outside of him teaching me, right? And so whatever I've even grown in, I can just help another man to see it. And here's Jesus. He'll teach you. So even the teaching of that kind of thing, I don't even know. But I know that that's ahead. On our last trip to Kansas City a couple weeks ago, we wound up in a family service that we didn't even know was going to happen. And it was like such a confirmation to us, wasn't it, Maria? It was like, okay, here's what I've given you, and here's a family that's running in it stronger than you, and you're going to be with them in some way doing this. And that was pretty amazing. So it's exciting days, a lot of unknowns and a lot of knowns. We're very content not to know because we know that he does, right? And so sometimes when people say, share your vision, it's like, I'm okay. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're in the story. And that's the most important thing. We can rest that God initiated this whole thing. God is going to finish this whole thing. We're in the middle. And I'll share this because I saw it again. I was driving down the road one day and I saw a picture of myself. I had my right hand had a fistful of invitations. And they were pink, like really ornate. I would say maybe wedding invitations. As many as I could hold was in my right hand. And then I had one in my left like that. And the Lord said, this is what you do every day. You hand out invitations to know me, right? I was like, oh, wow. And then he said, and Matt, all you've ever done is said yes to my invitation. And there wasn't a correction in it. There was a loving reminder, say, trust me, because I'm just going to keep inviting you. And when you think you're where you want to be, I'm gonna take another step back and I'm going to invite you there, right? So that you're not satisfied where you were 10 years ago, right? Because if I let you, you would be. You'd live in old glory. I don't want you to live in that. I want you to look like me, and it's going to take a lifetime to do it. So just go ahead and rest and give yourself over. And so that's what we're doing, is learning how to rest, learning how to just say, okay, Lord, you know what? Everybody we know is here. All of our family is here. I'm getting ready to leave my job in 2 weeks. It's starting to hit me now, too. It's like, I've been with this company for 14 years doing my job and what I do, and there's a day ahead where I'm just going to hand the key in and walk away from it, and things are going to change, and it's going to be glorious and beautiful, and I can't wait. Because through the refining process and through the learning how to trust God process, there were days I held on. There were days I said, yes, Lord, I know this is what I was made for, but I think I'll just work a little bit longer. I like the paycheck coming in regular. That's working pretty good. And he never condemned me for that. He just said, I know. I know the fear that's in you, and I'm just going to keep inviting you into another place. And it got to many unbearable moments where, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I know, take a step. And when I finally began to take those steps through prayer, where I would just say, Lord, I don't think I walk in fear, but obviously I do. I let that fear go to you. I let the fear, you know, of lack or, you know, whatever. That freedom would come and I would take a step and boom, it would open up. Wide open. Grace would just fill my life. Like, oh, God, why didn't I do this a long time ago? But he knows. Yeah. He's faithful. He's good. He's kind. He's compassionate. He knows. He lived in our frame, and he's still in our frame, even as God. And so he's a faithful high priest saying, come on, Matt. Come on, Maria. JC, James. I know. Everything you know is here. You're not going to lose a thing. He reminded me when I came over here from the Methodist Church, I didn't come right over. I surrendered it to the Lord. I was in a battle. I was like, oh. And it was in a Gary Carpenter meeting, which was after the Dave Roberson meeting. That was a daytime session that Gary did, and I was sitting right over there. And I was surrendering to the Lord, and peace came. He said, come on over. Basically. And I felt that love and that joy and that peace. I was like, yeah, Lord, thank you. You're faithful. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm excited. And however long that lasted, I rode that for hours, days, whatever. And then all of a sudden, this reality hit me that I was getting ready to walk away from people that I love very much and that love me very much and love my family very much. I was like, Lord, all that peace and that joy, now my emotions are swirling. What a, you know? He said, Matt, your obedience will bring more blessing to them than your presence ever would. And as soon as I heard that, it's like, oh, I knew that was the Lord. The peace, the love, and the joy came back. So it's been the same thing on this, because we love you all very much. We love our family. I love the people I work with very much. And he said, now, Matt, you can hold on. You can. You can hold on, but you won't be following me anymore. You're going to kind of settle into your way of living for me, and it'll be good, but it won't be my will. It won't be what I'm asking of you. And because it's good, good doesn't work with God, right? We're looking for perfect because he's perfect. And so that little bit of compromise will begin to settle into your life, and it'll start moving stuff around that you don't want moved around. So the best thing we can always do, little or big, it does not matter. It's just follow the Lord. He's faithful. And that's what we're doing. We love you all very much. We're not going anywhere. I can tell you this, since we've taken these steps, our heart, I feel my heart knit to Florida more than ever. I think we'll be here more than I would have thought. But I know we're going for definitely a season to dig in and be faithful in ministry to the Lord. And then whatever ministry and trips to come home and do all that, we'll just see how all that plays out. But know this, we're family. We love you. We're praying for this home, this family, you guys, our family, this city, the state. And the place that he's moving in us is very minded that way. They're globally minded in what they're doing. And so that has been the way that our mind has come, is to stand before the Lord, even as in heaven, even as before his throne, standing on the sea of glass and looking over the things that are on his heart. So with that, I know you wanted Maria to be able to share, and I took a long time. I'm sorry about that. Is that okay? Yes. So the other thing I heard this morning, the only other thing was like who, what, when, where, how, right? So I covered maybe who and what and how. When, 3 to 4 weeks. We don't have it exactly nailed down, but we're packing our stuff now and getting things arranged. I'm leaving my job in 2 weeks. So we don't have to be anywhere anytime. We can do what we need to do, and that's all good. We feel a lot of grace for that. That's when, and then where. For those of you that have our contact information right now, it's all the same. Facebook, phone, emails, all the same. We'll be back around with something that'll have our address and all that. Or you can just give us your contact when we leave today, and we'll get that to you. The other thing with the ministry to the Lord and family, and this is the last thing I'll say, with family, one of the things we asked the Lord for our home was a place where we could be family, with family. And so we just extend an open invitation that we're going to be there. And where our home is, by his grace, is sanctified to the Lord, is consecrated to the Lord. And we're looking for our home there to be a place where people can come, people can stay, people can encounter the Lord, not only at the International House of Prayer, a place where they've been in worship and prayer for continuous for 16 years. Now, you know the atmosphere that's here from a whole lot of prayer and a whole lot of worship. So it's very similar, it's very open, and the Lord has his way in a lot of ways. But know that we're there, know that our home is open, and we're going to have plenty of room, so you're always welcome. So we love you. Amen. Amen.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And I just want to encourage all of us, after we get that contact information, some of you will be getting that contact information individually, and that's fine. We will post it. And I just want to encourage all of you, if the Lord speaks to you, to support them not only in prayer, but in a financial way, whether it be one time or on a continuous basis. Listen to the Lord, because they're going out there and doing what they're doing in faith and just knowing that God is their provider. And so that's another reason why I respect what they're doing so much and feel so good about it, really feel so good about it. And I've seen the picture of their house, and I know that it's a big house, and so I know I've got a room there, and I'm waiting. I'm just waiting this year. Yeah, I would have a small, yeah, I'd take your room. Oh, I wouldn't want to move Marie out of her, so, but, yeah. But praise God, we're looking forward to it. But hallelujah. Just listening to the Lord. I know what He wants. So would you guys come, please, here and stand? And Homer and Rosie, would you come up here? And hallelujah.
Could I ask for my mom to come?
Absolutely. Mom, would you please? She's going to be around still in this area?
She's going to be around.
Well,
yes.
Yeah. Well, I hope she knows that this is home. So hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Like for all of us to stand, and Barbara, if you'd come, and some of our elders, hallelujah. Marty, I know you're working the sound, but can you come up? Hallelujah. And we just worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. Hallelujah. From the first days I set in your heart to know me. Through struggles and through fights with the enemy, with warfare of the flesh, you have persevered. Your persevering has brought you to this place. Know that I move with you. I move for your moving with me. As the cloud and as the fire moves, you're moving with it. And you are right in this saying that the connection of your heart is stronger now to this place and to the ties I've placed within you in this region. It is stronger. Had you stayed, it would have lessened. It would have weakened. But obedience brings strength, saith the Spirit of grace. And you're right in this. And I will take you, and I will mold you, and you have no idea yet all of everything that will begin to be opened up in the days ahead with great joy. And there will be times of the same necessity of perseverance then as has been in these years. But I am the God that brought you through and will bring you through and will establish you to the end, saith the Lord of hosts. Stay in the place. Stay in the place of humility. Stay in the place of posturing your heart always before my presence. The dreams, the visions, all of the miracles, both spiritually and physically, for your family will be made manifest. On this journey, you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed, saith the Spirit of the Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Abba. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, please. Mavis, if you could. Yeah, you got it.
Hallelujah. I definitely have to share this. There's three things, just real quick, nothing. Three things that Matt has done that have impacted my life tremendously. I mean, and one of them you've heard me say time and time again, that there was a man that told me once that God's word had to be abundant in you. And that's always stuck with me forever. And I've used that probably a dozen times when I've ministered, because Matt shared that with me one time. And Matt also, through his obedience and him and his wife, he's taught me a lot on how to worship God. And these aren't just, because it would be wrong on my part, it would be darkness on my part just to say nice things, just to say them. I'm saying things that have ministered to my spirit from this family. Matt, through his obedience with his wife, awesome woman of God, have taught me how to worship. And that statement, when he's at home with the word of God, has to be abundant, and he has stuck with me forever. And there's one thing that he did that I've never told him about. Maybe about 7 or 8 years ago, we had an elder meeting here at the church. Maybe give or take a few years. And something that he said began to impact me immediately. And I don't even know if he remembers or if pastor remembers. But Matt stood up amongst the elders and he said, and this was minute to, and I don't know if you're going to have ears to hear this or not, but he stood up and he made a statement that let me, and it wasn't directed at anybody. It was just an open Holy Ghost filled statement that he said, and it hit the spot in me and let me know that I had error in my life. He got up and said, look, when Pastor Bronk, the shepherd of this church, when he asks you to stand up as your pastor and you don't, Matt said this, and he was so right. And this ministered to me. This was my conviction, not yours, mine. He said, for God's sake, stand up. And at that very moment, by words of simplicity that the Holy Ghost put in Matt's heart, they ministered to me. And it sowed a seed in me forever to show me the importance of first of surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And then out of that surrendering, what I comprehend and understand the importance of surrendering to Pastor Bronk. And then that filtered down should show me the importance of surrendering to you. So Matt, I want to thank you. Three things that you've done that have impacted my life tremendously. You taught me how to worship. You taught me how to be faithful, not just to the Lord and to Pastor Bronk and to the people. You redefined being a servant. You redefined faithfulness. And you redefined on how to transition over according to Holy Ghost-filled protocol. You did a wonderful, 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 wonderful job. I know God is in your midst, in your wife's midst, James and JC. And I pray for your daughter, Matt, more than what you would think. And I know that I know that I know what's going to come forth out of that prayer. And me and you have shared that before. And it's been a blessing to have you here in our midst. And you're still going to be in our midst, just about 1,000 miles away. It's been an honor to co-labor with you, and you have taught me so much. You have really, literally taught me so much on how to encounter Christ Jesus, how to be a submissive elder to my pastor, how to be submissive to the people. And I want to tell you and Maria, thank you, and I want to stay in contact with you more than we ever have. You're going to be gone 1,000 miles. We're going to talk more now, but it doesn't matter. Thank you so much for your faithfulness to this house, and to your faithfulness in the spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated.